see how you like to mourn, as the Lord. If you don't like it, it's your fault. You should have shouted. That's all I tell you. The song leader was grabbing a hold of it. Praise God. That's good. I'm trying to figure out who the song leader is. We got a different one every night. We've all done great. As the Lord, all done great. Spreading around, I guess. All right. Got more talent in one church than 10 put together.
Thank y'all. Yes.
All right, here we go. Ooh. Y'all just got on this afternoon. Got on in church tonight. So that's where we got to go, okay? Here we go. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again to the temple. All the people came unto him and sat down and taught them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him, but Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last, and Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Flipping back a few pages to what we would say would be the most popular verse in the Bible, John 3:16. God so loved the world, that his only begotten Son, who shall believe in him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. But I want you to look at verse 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. And I want you to listen to this. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world. And this is red writing, by the way. And men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds might be made manifest that are wrong in God. Heavenly Father, Heavenly Priest tonight, Lord, once again to this wonderful group of people, I pray, dear God, that you would just anoint me, strengthen me, encourage me, but most of all, give me the words to say tonight to somebody in this house, to your people, dear Lord. Anoint my lips of clay, God, and I'll give you the praise and the honor and the glory for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. All right, now nobody get nervous on what I'm fixing to say, okay? But at the end of my message, and right at the end of this service, if Brother Lester feels necessary to correct anything that I preached, I'm fine with that. If he preaches or teaches something a little different than what I would do, which I'm not going to endeavor to get in any. Thinking he would, but I don't know exactly how he feels. But my point is this: you follow after what Brother Lester teaches you, okay? Does that make sense? Now, you understand that better. Don't get nervous about me saying that, but I want you to know wherever I go, that pastor's in charge of that church, and you need to follow behind. Just like if I go to a church and they preach mid-trip, there ain't no sense in me preaching pre-trip. It would cause confusion. You understand? I believe in backing that pastor, so I don't know if we disagree on anything, but this message. I felt like, I wonder why I was here. I said, God, my brother Lester called me, and I'm not saved this guy and preach. And I feel like that now as I'm here longer, I feel like my purpose is to help this church prepare for the places God has taken you, and to share some of my experiences and to just help in the journey, not to tell you how to do it, because really there's not a manual on it, but to share some of my experiences and the highs and the lows to encourage you, because again, you already know how to live, right? You already know all these things. And so that's where we are again tonight. And I want to preach about this lady. We have here Jesus. Let's look at the setting of this text. First of all, it's in a church service. That's what I want you to pick up first. So we got a church service going on. And in the middle of this church service, Jesus is, it's early in the morning, so we'll say it's probably a Sabbath, Saturday morning. And he's there early in the morning. He's getting in the temple. And he's teaching, and his people have come to listen, and they're there to learn. They're hungry. So we got a church setting going on here in the synagogue, Mount of Olives. And we find here in the temple, we find the scribes. We see the group of people listening there, and the scribes and the Pharisees show up. They are the religious elite of the day. They are considered the religious leaders of the day. And they show up, and here we are. And the thing of what I marvel at is the scribes and the Pharisees show up here at the place. They really don't give a rip about this woman. They just want to trap Jesus.
Yeah.
And so here they show up. So we got the religious elite among us. Now we've got the congregation of what we would call the normal people. And then we have Jesus. So we have three parties here in this setting. And when they show up, they bring a woman with them. I'm going to use a slight bit of imagination, but not a lot. They say to him these words, "We have caught this woman in adultery. She was taken in the very act." From that, I will derive, and we're adults here that will know, and I'm trying to be discreet, but I want to title my message today, tonight, Naked at His Feet. Naked at His feet. There she sat, brought into the church service, maybe a time to throw a sheet around herself. There she sits in the middle of the church. And we got three groups of people watching. What's going to happen next? As we sit here tonight, many of us raised on the church house pew, many of us taught the ways of God from a child up. I was privileged to be raised in a wonderful home. But I was raised by a pastor. My dad was a man that loved the drunk and the alcoholic and the drug addict. In our little community, my dad won the town drunk to Jesus Christ and coming to live with us and went to Bible school, became a preacher. His name was Johnny Miller. He was the town drunk. Dad won him to the Lord. Many times at 2:00 in the morning, coming home from a camp meeting, my dad would stop and pick him up and take him home and put him in bed. Johnny Miller came from a family of eight. He had eight brothers. They all had different last names. They're not sure if he even is a Miller. They just guessed that he is. So they called him Johnny Miller. Dad would put him up to bed, no running water, down to the bottom of the hill, crank the old bucket up out of the old well. Just like, this is what, 1940s, y'all. This was 2000, 1990s, 95, right in that area. And so Johnny Miller got saved. The town drug dealer, Betty Lou Mills, got saved. And she was the biggest drug dealer in town. She come to church with a pistol in her pocketbook, looking for her husband. She took a few shots at him, and he took a few shots at her, because they were separated. She showed up that night with a pistol in her pocketbook, and she didn't have no concealed carry permit, I promise you that. Amen. And God saved her that night for 5 hours. It cast demons out of her. And that was 30 years ago. Betty Mills is still saved to this day. Hallelujah. Full of the Holy Ghost. So I grew up, and my dad fed the homeless and done all this. And then we went to a place called Winchester. That was a little rural community. Then we went to a big area, Winchester, 300,000 people in that county, 100,000 in that city. And Dad done the same things. And, you know, I told some funny stories to the boys today about the characters we have been entitled. So when I went to pastor and pioneer my church, I've seen a lot of things. Amen. But, you know, really the question is, when we get the sinner in the midst of us, how are we going to respond is what I want to preach about today. Amen. Now, I want you to see this woman. I want you to see her here. she doesn't really need a sermon about you are a wicked sinner, because she sits there totally embarrassed. Everybody knows what she's done. The Pharisees walk in the door. I'll stay with me just a minute here. The Pharisees come in and they've done talk. Hey, we caught this woman in adultery. Matter of fact, we caught her right in the very act of adultery. Amen. She's sitting there. Everybody knows what she's done. Again, if she's clothed at all, it probably ain't much. And everybody's looking at her. And Jesus is looking at her and he's looking at them. I want to tell you, as we branch out into uncharted waters to try to reach this broken and hurt world, we've got three groups of people still looking. We've got the religious elites that's not going to get their hands dirty with anything like this, and they want the church to stay perfect, and they don't want anybody with any bad name among them. We've always had an upper crust church. I don't mean these new people in general. I'm just talking about the church world. There's a group of elites out there that don't want to take the church. And then we've got the church that's sitting around saying, we don't really know what to do, Brother Brent. We've never dealt with this. And then we got Jesus looking.
All right.
Come on.
All right.
Come on. You're listening, man. Come on.
I was called, I'll start my message with this. I was called, a lady in my church in Japan brought her little granddaughter to church multiple times. And she was like a porcelain doll. She even had the little ringlet curls that went down. She was gorgeous. She was 5 years old. When she stayed with me, Sister Christy, multiple times. Her mother's name was Autumn. Autumn, amen, was a prostitute. And so she was a granddaughter. She had this girl by Sister Pam's son. I am raising Sister Pam's other grandson. I have a little six-year-old that I'm raising now. And I appreciate your prayers. I've had him 3 years. His mama dropped him off and left him. And I've had him for 3 years. He calls me daddy. And he calls my wife mama. And I'm the only daddy he's ever known. His daddy is dead in the grave from heroin. His daddy died of dirty needles of AIDS.
Yeah.
I walked into the jail cell. Sister Pam said he picked up all of them. I walked in jail cell and I called for Autumn. And they said, you want to see Autumn? Yeah, I want to see Autumn. Bring Autumn out. You know what she's in here for, right? Yeah, I know what she's in here for. You want to see Autumn? Yeah, bring Autumn out. And they kind of rolled her eyes out to the guards. So they bring Autumn out and she sits between the glass. And just, I'm in the visitation booth. And Autumn sits on the other side. And I look through the glass and I just look there. And she don't know if I'm a lawyer. She don't know what I am. She's never met me. I've never met her. Her name's been in the paper 2 weeks in a row for busting stings. She looks at me and I look at her and I say these words. I said, you know a little girl named Delania? When I said that, that little 80-pound, amen, drug addict folded across that table, and tears began to drip off the end of her chin.
Oh,
and I said, Autumn, I said, I'm coming to tell you today that Jesus loves you.
Oh, wow.
I just come to tell you that you got a beautiful little girl, and I'd like you to be a mama to her. And I don't remember all the words I said.
Come on.
And I spent about an hour from that. Every time I would go in, I would miss with her. She'd come out and see me. She told me in that visitation booth why she stood on the street corner. She told me about her mama's boyfriend, what he started doing when she was 12 years old. She told me how she went and told her mama, and her mama didn't believe her and chose the boyfriend over her own blood daughter. And the abuse that led to an addiction, and the addiction that led to standing on a street corner, not because she wanted to stand on a street corner. I'm preaching about this woman right now that's in the midst, okay? Sometimes all we can see is their scar. We don't know why. Why are they here? What brought them to this place? All we know is that somebody drug her in and said, this is a bad woman right here, and what are y'all going to do about it? But you know, there's more to the story than what we see. I remember visiting with Autumn, and she told me all of her past. She got out. One day I passed her on the sidewalk. Her kid was in a lady been in foster care and has since been adopted out, and I haven't seen her in years. Amen. And I remember going in, and I stood on the street corner. I went off the sidewalk and lady, what are you doing? And she pulled up a backpack, and in that backpack she had coloring books and all kinds of stuff from the dollar store. Now, y'all got to realize she's homeless. She has nothing. Somewhere she scrounged up a few bucks and she went down the Dollar Tree and she bought it. I said, what's that for? She said, it's for my little girl for her to go to school with and have a backpack. She didn't have a chance of getting that girl. She didn't have that little girl. That little girl's in foster care. Hey, but you know what? In her heart, she wanted to give her little girl something for school. Are y'all looking at me tonight? Hey, man, she's sitting there looking at her. And I'll never forget. Hey, man, as I realized my tears went down my face, I drove away. She ain't got a prayer of a chance of getting that little girl. And the little girl had in the foster system, but I realized that down in her heart, she did love the little girl.
Yes. Yes.
It didn't look like she loved her. You chose drugs over your little girl. No, my mama chose a boyfriend over me at 12, and I got addicted to drugs to escape life. And now I'm hopelessly bound, and I feel like I got the flu every day when I wake up. And I don't take care when I get high. I just take care when I get out of bed. And I don't stand on the street corner to be nasty. I stand on the street corner to get heroin so I can get rid of my flu-like symptoms every morning, so I can get out of bed and walk down the sidewalk. I don't want to help me preach a little while. Maybe in this town it's meth. Maybe it's somewhere else it may be Oxycontin. Maybe, but it's something everywhere. And before we dress to judgment, as we sit in our pew, and everybody knows where they've been, and everybody knows what they've done, and everybody knows what they got caught doing, and then we might want to back up just a minute and look toward the eyes of the Savior and see what, how he's looking at your situation. Oh, you don't want to fall in the category of the religious elite. Even if you find yourself saying, we ain't got time for this. This is going to crack our church. This is going to mess with our youth group. I'm going to tell you, where you sitting at tonight, there's somebody naked. I can feel the Savior. And they're embarrassed. And they're humiliated. And what are we going to do? Amen.
Help us, help us, help us,
help
us.
So, Grandma trying to get custody rights. I'm preaching here. And so, I go to the courtroom. I walk into a courtroom and I sit down. And the worst, they got to give their kid home. They give the kid along. And that lawyer makes it his goal to tell mama, let that daddy get a kid back. And in many cases, they don't get. The judge, he's been through this so many times, he's burned out. Case number 375-210. I'm sitting there. What's that guy doing over here in the long lane? What's he doing? What's that guy doing? That's Autumn's pastor. Well, he needs to get out of here. My judge looked at me and I could almost see his eyes. If you care enough to come in here and sit, amen, with this woman, you're going to sit here.
Praise
and he
God.
Said, he stayed.
All right.
So here she comes, preacher. She's shackled with both arms.
All right.
She's shackled at her feet. There's a chain dragging between them. You would have thought she was an axe murderer.
What are you here for? I was on the street corner and I got caught.
She shuffled in 80 pounds. Over here sits a newspaper man, he's writing. Over here sits the lawyer for the child, she's looking. Over here sits the court-appointed attorney, he ain't got a prayer for chance, and he knows that his law is just, he's telling her, just sign a paper, because if you don't sign it, they're going to take it from you anyway. At least if you sign it, you have another way along. And so that's all he can advise her is to sign, and she scatters in. And I'm telling you, sister, she shook from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. And she sobbed like I've never seen somebody sob before. Now, everybody's a foster parent here. God love your heart. I'm not against foster parents, and I'm not even saying that all of them deserve to lay me back. All I want to preach this for a little while is that as I was sitting in that courtroom that day, and they drugged their brother Autumn in there, and she shook and she sobbed as she signed her name with that paper to sign that baby away once and for all. I will never see you again unless you look me up. And I looked around that courtroom and I realized she only had one friend in that entire courtroom. As she lifted her head and looked over at the preacher, amen, that had sat after week and looked at her through the glass and talked to her, and I wanted to stand up and scream out, she's got a name. She's not just a number. She's not just a statistic. She's got a name. She's got a name.
Oh, God.
I'd already been granted grace to sit in there. And all I could do was look across that table, tears drip off my chin, and let her know, girl, I can't say a word to you. But I nodded in her direction and said, while you sit here today, I just want you to know you're not alone. I can't change your life. I can't change your past. But I just wanted you to know that somebody cares about you in this town. I want to preach a little while to you today. Oh, I preach to you Sunday night. There's a God in you that somebody needs. Oh, I can't condone
God, you and I keep on a daily basis. And I say, I cannot condone your marijuana usage, but I do know why you do it. You do it to escape life. You do it to escape your mom and daddy fighting out there in the kitchen. You do it, amen, to escape life. I will never condone it. But when you look at that young person, I ain't just a punk smoking marijuana. You may not really understand why that he smokes that marijuana. It's not right. The adultery wasn't right. But there was a Savior in the midst that knew there was more. Amen to the story. And what everybody else did. And God's trying to raise up a church that will look past the adultery and look past the marijuana and see the person that is behind it all. Lift your hands and ask God to help me. Question number one, where was the man? Where was the man? You can't catch someone in the very act of adultery unless there's two participants. Are y'all listening to me? And you know what I found out? I found out we get real self-righteous until it's our son or it's our daughter. And all of a sudden we want the whole church service shut down. We want heaven and earth moved. Amen. Because, oh, that's my boy. But he's a sick pervert. I don't care. You shut the service down, preacher. You pull for my son. And guess what? Nothing wrong with that. But when you and I have more burden for backslid holiness kids that was raised with the spirit of privilege in their mouth, that we do for somebody who's never heard the gospel, who is not rejecting it, they don't even know what it is. There's going to be trouble on the day of judgment for you and I. I'm going to tell you, we're sitting and looking on. What do we do now, preacher? We look toward Jesus and see what he does. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Now fix it across the wires. Now I want to short your battery. Again, this is where Brother Lester feels free to straighten anything up after I'm gone and do what I'm gone. But Jesus dealt differently with this woman naked in the middle of the congregation than he did with the scribes and Pharisees.
Hey, Lord, can a man leave his wife for any cause?
You leave your wife, you cause her to commit adultery. We look at that scripture, we miss the whole point. He's preaching to the Pharisees. You leave your wife for any cause because she can't cook good. Same with the cause of fornication. He said, you caused her to commit and her blood's going to be on your hands. And whosoever marries her commits adultery, it's all your fault because you caused it all. Because you do not need to point you, brother. God help me. Amen. You caused it all because you, amen, left her for no reason.
Throws a book at him, does he not? Uh-huh. Woo, I mean, he don't give him an inch of mercy. Right. But here's this woman, and the Pharisees got a very legitimate point. The law says, burn her.
Yeah.
How come he didn't throw the law at her? So everybody shout at once, people in front of
him. How come he didn't throw the law at her? The law said, stone her.
Right.
He threw the law at the Pharisees. He didn't hesitate.
Why didn't he throw the law at her? Stone. You tell me.
He didn't know no better.
Well, go ahead, brother. You just never know what it is. Are y'all listening, brother? And I'm going to tell you something right now. If you guys are going to work with homeless and hurting and broken people, you better get ready to deal with the issue of divorce and remarriage.
Yes, sir.
I'm not telling you how to deal with it or figure it out. I ain't figured it out myself. But I'm going to tell you what, you better start learning to find an answer. Yeah. Brother Shane Boyer come to my church. He come to my church. He was fixing to write a book on why divorced and remarried people must separate. He had fell out with his own parents and didn't speak to his own parents over it because they were in it. And he said he was writing the book. He had it half written and was working on the book. Amen. And he got with me and he said, we're going to tie your church. I didn't try to talk him out of it. I never discussed it with him. We just had church. And he came to me one day with tears in his eyes. And he said, Pastor, you can write all as you want to. You can find the law and make them talk the lies you want to make. He said, but when you pray with people at the altar, your book is no good.
Oh, God. Help us.
I got a family in my church right now. I've been trying to salvage for a year and a half. They have 5 kids. They have 4 different last names. She's his first husband. He's her 4th wife. She's still ahead. I said, well, I'll do. You tell me what you do, Mr. Know-it-all. You tell me what you do, Mr. Pharisee. I want to hear it because I sure would like an answer because I don't know what to do.
Oh, God.
I've been looking for an answer. The 5 kids are lying across the altar. Their mama gives them marijuana on the way to church because she said it's better than the 15 pills that they were all taking from the sites. She said the marijuana, y'all got an answer for me. I still been looking for one. I'm not trying to be smart, y'all. I'm just giving you a heads up. If you want to work with these people, then you better get ready to figure out what you're going to do when you're cast down at the altar and the Pharisees are looking on and you're looking on and the pastor's trying to figure out what to do. I want to know, what is your response going to be when men and women are naked at the feet of Jesus in the middle of our congregation?
No, I'm preaching, I'm a chaplain, I'm not here crossing. If you want to work with these people, I can draw as hard a line as I want to on divorce and marriage. Don't mind me. I've been married to the same woman 22 years. She's the only woman I've ever been with. But what about these people?
She stood up, sis, and she stood up in her pew. And when she stood up, so I'm going to testify. They'll testify. Y'all. I sure appreciate this church.
Praise God.
God really has shown us a lot of love. Yeah. Yeah, you know, I ran away from home when I was 11 years old and took my 9-year-old brother with me. My eyes popped up and we never went back.
Somebody's running from something, y'all.
Yeah.
She's dancing those 14 strip clubs I'm preaching about. She's been there. She's danced down. She's looked for love in every place. She's done time in the pen. All I know is we got a man and a woman sitting here. They're driving. Listen, y'all. They rode in with 11 people on most Sundays. You know what they rode in? A 4-door Dodge truck with a cap on the back of it. You know what kind of ticket that is? 6 police officers, where are you at? 6 in the cab and 6 in the bed. Amen. Smoking marijuana on the way to Sunday school. Y'all, we're trying to build a homeless church here. Y'all got too much madness for us.
God help.
You know, we got the upper list. I might not be able to preach a camp meeting if I have to keep fellowship with y'all. Now, y'all go out there and find me someone that's never been married or on their first marriage, or find me some backslid homeless kid that's been a whoremonger and slept with 200 women, but ain't never said I do, so we're safe. And we can come down here and pray for you. We'll hook him up with the preacher's daughter, and everybody go shout right on. I'm going to tell you, hey, we better start praying some things through. I don't have an answer. I'm not here to tell you what to do. This is a pastor here. But as he prays and as he asks God to show us how to love hurt people, you too, amen, must find a way to the back of their God and say, Lord, show us how to help people who are thrown down at the altar in front of us.
All right, get a book on preaching. Go and write your book. Just don't try to get involved with it because your book ain't going to be no good. Hold on, stay with me. I won't preach on that. I'll watch God. Thank you, Daddy, sweet. I got some preaching to do.
Yeah. Yep.
Hey, we're talking to you, sir. Did you hear what we said about this woman? What's your answer?
Whoever ain't got their sin in your life, that's the person.
Oh.
We just can't smell your addiction.
Oh, help us, God.
I said, we just can't smell your addiction. But there's a very few of you black people see the history on your cell phone.
Praise God.
Jesus, I got a word for you. If you look at a woman to lust after her, you've committed adultery in your heart already. So there's a bunch of you gone.
Right.
We're going to draw a hard line. Let's draw a hard line. Draw a hard line, let's draw a line. If you've lusted after a woman, if you've been, you committed adultery, out the door. No, we don't want to draw that line. We want mercy, and I'm for mercy. But blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And the problem is, we are so scared of compromising me too, that we want to draw the hardest line we can draw, and because we're so terrified of compromise. I understand. I don't want to let the floodgates open. I don't know what to do. Tortures my soul daily, but I do know this, I am not kicking them out of my church. I'm gonna tell Jesus they're loved. I'm gonna do what I can do, but trying to save this generation that is in the mess. Lift your hands and ask God to help us tonight. Understand our songbook, all right? We're talking about that. Many times in my church, I get up with Brother Ford Jr. there. And I said, look, read the top line and the second line, and I try to explain the songbook to him.
Yeah.
Well, for some reason, I have preachers say, well, I just show them the Bible, and I just say, now you just do what you feel. If you can't figure it out to be a saint for 30 years, how the Word of God's name you expect some new convert to figure it out?
Yeah.
If preachers can't, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. And Brother Lester can do whatever he wants to. But I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm not shoving the buck off. I'm going to man up. I'm going to pray through what I can. I'm going to do the very best I can. And I believe there's a God in heaven that I see looking down on this woman. And he says these words, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. You can argue what that means all you want. All I'm going to do is say, let's work with what we got. And let's see what we can do with who we got. Say these words, help me, Jesus, help me, Jesus. Maybe it might take two or three of y'all. I stood in another courtroom. I started working with a boy named Joshua Spikely. I sit in the courtroom. I believe the law and order, brother. I believe you do the count, you got to do the time. Okay? And you would also do the mercy. So sometimes my kids, I pray, I get out. I'm praying to get out. I'm praying to get what God wants you to have. That's all I can do. So I'm sitting there. And I go to court with Joshua Steiner for 2 years, brother, almost every week I went and visited him. I still have letters from him. He just wrote me not long ago. He's in prison. I went to a courtroom with him, sis. I looked through the bars. I looked across there. Once again, he had one friend in that entire courtroom. Not here, toot my horn, y'all. Just tell me. His own sister walked up to the podium. She said, Josh, how could you kill my mama? Josh didn't even kill his mama. His mom and daddy were drug dealers, and they got him on drugs. His mom and his stepdad were drug dealers, and he went to steal some drugs for him that night. A fight broke out. While he was fighting with his brother, with his dead stepfather, the other accomplice killed his mama. They didn't even try to pin him. The DNA said the accomplice done it. But there's a law in West Virginia called felony murder. If you are committing a felony and a murder takes place, you get the same sentence as first degree, and they don't have to prove intent. That's all they went after, felony murder. His own brother, his wife, sister looked up and said, she said, Judge, lock him up for his full way of key.
Wow.
Everybody there walked up and looked at him. He wasn't a murderer, y'all. He really wasn't.
because from a child that's all you've been taught to do.
Oh, God.
His stepfather said, "Judge, can I get up and stand?" He said, "Yeah." So he goes over and he gets up and stands. "I'm going to look him eyeball to eyeball." And he walks up and sits in the witness bench. And Josh is standing there. He gets about from me to you, young lady. And he looks across and declares it. He said, "Judge, I don't care how long you lock him up. Just as long as it's longer than I'm alive. Because if he gets out before I die, I will personally guarantee that he never hugs another woman. And he never feels the love he took from me." Josh tucked his head and tears dripped on the table. He's just a drug addict. I walked out of that. That judge looked at him and said, "Josh, I give you 365 years. Your first eligibility will only be at 70 to 75 years old. He's 30. He has a 3-year-old little girl." He said, "Preacher, do me a favor when this is over. Call my wife. Tell
her." You know who had to call his wife? You ever heard a woman scream in a phone and cuss you? And not cuss you, but cuss the air? "Preacher, what do I tell this little girl? I tell her daddy's dead. I tell her he's alive. We got no money. I can't go see him. I don't want to be telling." And she screamed and she hollered and she cursed and she swore like any little 27-year-old wife would do. Are y'all helping me preach in this house? Hey, but I'm going to tell you, someone said, "Oh, Brother Brandon, you got soft." Maybe I have, but I've dealt with some stuff that has broke me from one side to the other. Everything I thought I knew, I don't know anymore. All I know is people need Jesus.
Yes. Yes.
All I feel is helpless. All I know is you can't unscramble eggs. You can't tell 5 little children, "Welcome to Jesus," and break up the only home they got. That's not how Jesus welcomes little children. Neither one, they can't afford to live together, much less support 2 separate houses. All I know is this. I'm trying to see what Jesus would do, and I don't think Jesus wants those children to be hungry. I don't think Jesus wants those children not to have a place to live. I can't take them all in. I got a metal building. I have no money. And that's, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do what I feel that Jesus in me doing. When he looked down at a woman, and he could have said, "Stone her." He could have said, "Stone her." He could have said, "Stone her." But he wouldn't. And he didn't. And I'll tell you what he did say. "Neither do I condemn thee." You already condemned. You already broken. You already embarrassed. Then you don't need anybody else piling on. Get out of here, girl, and don't sin no more. And that's all he said. He left a blank sheet. I wish he declared by some more things, but he didn't. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do with everybody. I come to my church on a case-by-case basis. But I'm going to love them and do the best that I can. And I believe God is going to be pleased in the end. Get your hands to worship God.
Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, hallelujah. And now you're here. You're in this house tonight. You're ashamed of what you've done. Now I'm going to get to you. I preach to the church. I preach to the religious elite. Now I'm going to focus on this woman as we close. I don't know you. I've never laid eyes on you. But you're embarrassed about where you've been. Probably here tonight, people don't know as much as you think they do. But you sit around and look around. You know what I felt in my spirit? And I may be way off. But I felt in my spirit Number two, you're here tonight, and the devil tells you, you'll never be worthy to sit amongst these people.
God.
I feel a spirit in this church. They want to help broken people.
Praise God.
Brother Lester said, God don't call me for some reason. This is just me. I preached this at my church, y'all. Been years ago. It wasn't in my notes. I got a list of stuff I felt in my, it wasn't in my notes. But I felt the Holy Ghost, they said, you preach on neck against me. Tell me what I look to center different. Listen to me, bro. You're burnt out. You still love people, but you burn out. Because they all say the same stinking things, don't they? And it's all the same problem, ain't it? Now, I'm not saying you've lost compassion, you don't care. Don't get me wrong. But it gets old after a while, don't it? Try going through 1,500 of them in 8 years. You drag yourself in, and you don't even know if you can drag yourself behind the pulpit. And that's a disgrace for the pastor to admit that, ain't it? And I said, God, he never gonna change. I never gonna make a difference.
And if everything, somebody gets up testifies. And they thank God for Pastor Brent and Haven of Old Tabernacle.
Praise God. Praise God.
The last year has been the roughest year of all 8 years. Last year. I was walking from a nap. Some of you heard this at Christ. I was walking from a deep sleep on a Sunday trying to get some rest. I do 4 services every Sunday. I'm trying to rest up. I'm waking up and screaming. He's shooting at me, preacher. He's shooting at me. I wake up. I got what's going on. I'm trying to run him over with my car, preacher. I'm going to run him over. Yeah, they were just sitting in my church pew the service before, both of them. Now they're shooting at each other. You sure you want to work with these people? What's going on, son? Get out of here. Just get out. And I find out that one girl's called and he wants to shoot me, and he's trying to shoot me. She calls him, so he's threatening you, and she's playing the two boys against each other. And they both show up thinking the other wants to kill the other, and the one that's all about a girl that's a manipulator in the middle of all of it. And she was in the service, too. That night, they have a pastor appreciation. At my pastor appreciation, I've got armed security walking around the church that night, and one of the boys that was involved in it that got shot at comes busting in the middle of my service, and they now hauled him out on his head because he didn't know if he had a gun, and there were other guys behind it, and they're wanting to hear, we're having pastor appreciation. Welcome to Martinsburg Western Team.
Beautiful pastor appreciation. One of the prettiest I've ever had, and everybody sitting in their nerves are shot. We don't want anybody to come shoot. 2 or 3 weeks later, I'm in a revival with John Gabbard. I tell a 21-year-old boy, you've got to move out of the house with that 15-year-old girl. You know what's going to happen if you get caught. Said, preacher, I didn't know. Her parents told me she was 17 a year ago. Yes, she was 14 then. You've got to get out of there. I'm going to, preacher. I'm going to get out of there right now.
But the 14-year-old didn't want no parts of it.
You're not leaving me.
And so they start fighting in the church parking lot. Someone comes to get me. We're in revival with John Gabbard. We get ready to walk out. I get ready to walk out to the parking lot, and they bring it in my office. Sister Christy, my dear wife, has got a little girl that's going into a screaming rage and cursing fit at the top of her lungs. And Sister Christy's got her bear hugged and over in the chair saying, calm down, girl. Him and the boys behind me, I'm in between her and the boy. She's trying to claw his eyeballs out, and I'm in between the both of them. Are y'all listening to me? I'm talking about in the church office, beside the pulpit, y'all, just like the preachers is here. You crying, Brother Brent? No. But here's the problem. I knew, you kicked that little girl out, maybe never in your life. We got her calmed down. She broke into a sob. And she broke into a sob. You know what?